This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today, we're going to go ahead and we're finally going to get to finish WrestleMania 6, April 1st, 1990. I'm super excited to see this main event between the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. I've just been looking forward to doing this podcast for a long time. But that's not the only reason we're excited for today, is it, Blaze?
I'm not excited at all. What are you talking about?
We're excited because we have the man, the myth, the legend. He has been pumping information on the Rage and Blaze Show page, and he's just constantly been an inspiration to our wrestling fandom. He's the reason we got into wrestling. I'd like to introduce Tim Boomer Chase. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Steven? I wore my shirt just for you today.
Boo! Oh, here we go. This could get interesting.
Steven?
Did we just break kayfabe?
We did. We broke kayfabe.
Don't break kayfabe right here on the podcast.
You should know better than any of us. You don't break kayfabe. Damn it.
We got to be more professional.
This is very professional.
He's wearing a Hulkamania shirt.
And I'm wearing the Ultimate Warrior shirt.
And we're not Hulksters here.
It's a WrestleMania.
Well, I'm not a Hulkster. I'm not one of the millions of Hulk Hogan fans.
Tell you what, Hulk Hogan is the reason a lot of us, including me, just stuck with wrestling, got into wrestling. He was such a big presence back in the day. I remember that was my biggest fan. I was biggest fan of his growing up. And as much as I love the Ultimate Warrior, I mean, you've got to give it to Hogan. And I know wrestling has changed since those days, but those early days when we were young, we were kids, we were going over to your house watching wrestling Saturday mornings. Hulk Hogan drew you in. That's what started it for me.
And as
Blaze has gotten older, he's become a bitter old man. And he is just simply...
he's a very bitter old man.
He's a very bitter old man. The more he has lost his hair, the more he has gotten bitter to Hulkamania.
Yeah.
And it's just sad, but it's just what has happened in life.
You know,
I don't know who hurt you to make you this way.
Even before I started getting hair like Hulk Hogan, okay? Even before that happened, I was not a Hulk Hogan fan. Who should have got you into wrestling is Rowdy Roddy Piper. That man is fantastic.
And he had a full head of hair.
He did have a full head.
I'll tell you what, the crazy thing is Hogan lost his hair before he was a superstar.
You know what, Rage?
It's just kind of amazing.
We had a man who was talking about anti-bullying, and I feel a little bullied right now. I feel a little bullied right now, and I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it at all.
There's a lot of Hogan haters in the world, but this man has done so much for this business, and you can't deny that.
Oh, yo.
You don't have to be a fan of him, but he took it to the mainstream.
That's right. He, at the end of every episode, poses for 10 minutes.
And he gets the biggest pop during those 10 minutes.
I can't help it. Those fans are dumb.
Oh, here we go.
This was a different time. They didn't know about hardcore wrestling. They didn't know about people like Shawn Michaels.
Or good wrestling.
It was a different business back then.
It was.
So when you watch old wrestling, you have to remember there's a different element of wrestling. Throughout the years, wrestling today is not the same as it was during the Attitude Era, nor was wrestling the same in the 80s and early 90s before the Attitude Era. They had to get bigger and better because competition started creeping up on them.
Fair. That's fair argument. But I'm going to send my love to the Macho Mans. I'm going to send my love to the Rowdy Roddy Piper. I'm going to send my love to Million Dollar Man because they were fantastic. At a time when wrestling was different in your eyes.
And where did all those guys wrestle? In the WWF, and they would have never made it there if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan.
He paved the way. I remember watching, when we did this podcast, you watched WrestleMania 1. How many big stars really were there? just go through the show.
Rowdy Piper.
Rowdy Piper was there.
Hogan was there.
Was Macho in the first one? I'm trying to remember. I don't think he was. I don't think he was in the first one.
But we know the first one was just a glorified house show. So it's
yeah. Okay. Yeah, according to
Blake. Glorified house show. Tell me it's not.
WrestleMania 1 did not age well.
That was not a WrestleMania show.
But it was the baby. It was the first.
I realize that. But I'm watching this as a future watcher, and it's a glorified house show.
Well, I'll tell you what, it got bigger and better. I mean, once you saw WrestleMania 3, how huge that was, I mean, it's just gotten so much bigger from there. And then 2020 happened and went little bitty again. So,
I'm just saying, Raw and SmackDown is bigger than WrestleMania 1.
Fair enough.
Wow.
The first one is bigger than WrestleMania 1. It's a glorified house show.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree, but hey, before we get into this show, unfortunately, due to scheduling issues, the original plan was to have Boomer here on the both part one and part two of WrestleMania. Unfortunately, that did not happen. But Boomer, you went home, you did your homework, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So why don't you help recap the people on the first half of WrestleMania 6, some of your opinions. What did you think? Did you agree, disagree with us?
I think you guys were pretty on the money. The opening match was hard to watch. And I'm a fan of Coco and Rick Martel. I don't remember this card. I've seen this WrestleMania more than once, but I don't remember the card. And so far, I'm just like, wow, I think this whole thing was about Hogan versus Warrior.
I really do. And the sad thing is that this WrestleMania is so remembered to be a great WrestleMania. And I always remembered it as like, if you ranked your WrestleManias without doing this podcast, we're just talking based off of memory, based off of just, I remember Andre and Hogan. I remember Ultimate Warrior and Hogan. You know, there's certain WrestleManias that you just remember the main event and you think to yourself, when you think of the greatest WrestleManias of all time, you kind of put that in your category. Yeah. But now that we're watching it now and we're kind of reviewing it, it's really not been a great WrestleMania. No. I still do believe that the main event's going to be bigger than life that you remember, and I hope it's as great as I remember. But the actual WrestleMania itself has been one of the most lackluster WrestleManias we have reviewed on this show. Not the most lackluster.
No, that'd be WrestleMania 1.
That would be the house show in the first one.
But I'm just pointing out.
But you're right. It is. It's one of the most memorable. I mean, even where you're at this point in your show, to me, this is the biggest main event. This is bigger than Andre and Hogan, in my personal opinion.
I agree.
I'm a little more excited about this than Andre and Hogan, because I think where Andre and Hogan were more of a attraction. It was mostly the big thing was, oh my gosh, Hogan body slammed Andre. That was the big draw. Where this we have two, and we've been watching this and. I loved Ultimate Warrior as a kid, and I'm not hating him, although his promo work is
very interesting.
And I'm not even going to say bad, because it's entertaining. It's ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. But it's entertaining. It's fun to watch. But it's not good. It's like a train wreck. You don't want to, but you can't look away. That's what Ultimate Warrior's promo work is. And he's not the greatest wrestler either. But here, and the reason I'm kind of excited about seeing this, and I've never seen this, I believe we've mentioned this, never watched this WrestleMania before. But we got two major personalities.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to make this interesting, because Hogan obviously is an over-the-top personality. The Warrior is an over-the-top personality. So I am looking forward to this more than Andre, because I already knew, you know, I can say I knew what the big highlight of the Andre match was.
Yeah, this
Hogan body slam. I don't know if I ever watched that match before I did this podcast, but I've seen that body slam.
They show, it's one of them things they show the footage all the time.
Yeah, you do see clips.
You know,
this is a lot different though because it's the two biggest stars right now at this point, and Hogan threw the challenge out when they had the big build up to the match that he said he needed to prove. He needed to see himself if he could beat the Ultimate Warrior.
You know, and the sad thing is I just thought about this while we're sitting here talking, is they actually had the opportunity to do this last year. I say last year like it was recent, but I'm talking last year, 1989 in WrestleMania 5.
Right.
They had Hogan versus Macho Man. Macho Man was huge, and then they turned him heel. And they kind of completely changed the aspect of that WrestleMania, where they could have done face versus face a year ago. And they, I don't know what made them choose to do it with Ultimate Warrior, but they had them as the mega powers. They could have both stayed faces, but Macho went so heel before WrestleMania 5 that it just kind of changed the aspect of
And this was one of those WrestleMania firsts. Vince McMahon was not a fan, and it's just old school, old mentality. Wrestling, you don't have a face versus face main event because who do the fans root for?
Exactly.
And then who wins and who loses, and doesn't the winner kind of look like a heel, even if he doesn't do anything heelish because you just took down everybody's favorite wrestler. So this was something Vince McMahon never did before. It's one of those firsts for sure.
I see what you're saying with the Macho Man thing, but you got to realize Macho Man was a pretty big heel before he became a face and started working with Hogan.
I'm just saying they had the opportunity.
They could have done the
and face. They kind of had the opportunity in WrestleMania 3. They turned Andre heel to make that
which
main
just
event
goes
too.
Back to that point that Vince didn't want a face versus face in his main events. He just didn't think they worked.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Andre Hogan match would even work as Andre as a face too.
Probably wouldn't have, but I get the point he's making though.
The opportunities were there.
Were there, yes.
Obviously, I bashed that match, and the parts that were good about it was the fact that he had Million Dollar Man in his corner. So
I don't think he had million.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He didn't have Million Dollar Man at WrestleMania 3.
No.
We apologize. We do know what we're talking about at times.
Blaze is asleep over here.
He did have Bobby Green.
Well, the later
he's
stuff.
In so much rage for my Hulkamania shirt, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, he just.
Now. That's the problem.
He saw the red and yellow and was like, no!
Which I've never even wore this shirt, by the way.
Colors. Oh, really?
I've never wore this shirt ever.
Oh, so you just did it to antagonize
me. I did.
This was in your collector case with your Hogan stuff.
Yes.
And you're like, this is never going
to
be worn.
But
and then you're like, I'm doing a podcast and I know he hates on Hogan all the time.
You know what?
It's worth it.
You know what? As the heel of this podcast, I respect it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I throw a little back at you.
I like it. I don't like the shirt, but I like it.
He devalued his collectible shirt just to throw shade at Blaze. Okay, with that.
I appreciate that move.
That's right.
I do. I appreciate that move.
With that note, I think it's time to get into the action. It is time to finish WrestleMania 6. Okay, so usually we watch a match and then we talk about it. But so much just happened when we pressed play on this WrestleMania that we decided we need to dive into
what
this.
What did happen is the
question. So as soon as we turn this on for our second part of WrestleMania 6, we get a slew of interviews. So we get Bobby the Brain Heenan. Any more comments about the
Well,
Heenan
he
interview?
Said that he said that they asked him why he would slap the Giant, and he said family, I am the boss, you don't listen to me, you get hit pretty much. That's pretty much it with Bobby the Brain.
So if you don't listen to Daddy of the family, you're gonna get slapped. Okay, yeah. So
instead of beating women, now we're beating our family.
That's always been acceptable.
As long as it's in the name of discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
We're not talking about child abuse here.
No.
I don't think Bobby the Brain Heenan could child abuse Andre if he tried.
Even when he was 10 years old, I don't think he could.
Yeah,
I would assume Andre was still bigger than Bobby at 10.
Yeah.
So then we get Rona Barrett. Anything there?
We have no idea who that is. Oh, well,
she's a gossip columnist.
And she implied
that we were going to see a video.
She had some pornography on Jesse the Body Ventura.
And then we didn't get to see it.
So yeah, we did not get to see some full Monty on Jesse the Body.
So we kind of they moved on from that as soon as that awkwardness.
Real quick fact here, though, that I forgot to share with you guys was this is actually Jesse the Body's last pay-per-view as a commentator.
Oh.
He does not leave WWF. Now he's still on shows, but this is his last pay-per-view as a commentator.
Really?
That's kind of sad.
That's sad.
We've really been loving Jesse the Body.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm not sure if I want to see Jesse's body, but we've loved Jesse the Body.
Wow.
You had to clarify.
No comment?
That's fine. Well, you know.
You got to clarify.
I mean, that's... That's what, Rona,
right?
That's what Rona Barrett is implying, that she's going to show
just so
Jesse's
knows,
body.
I'm not sitting right beside Blaze, and I'm glad. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, okay. Rage.
So I'm going to scoot over closer to Boomer here. So, okay, so the next interview we get is Macho Man, and I don't know if you call it an interview for Cherry Moore, just screaming and yelling in the background.
I don't even know about the interview with Macho. He's one of the best on the mic, but this one was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to follow. I don't know.
They were just ranting and bitching about what had happened.
He was not happy about Miss Elizabeth coming into the match. Maybe I'll go backstage and slap into a Slim Jim.
Once again, he did not say that yet.
No, you're way ahead of that.
A little ahead.
I had a Slim Jim yesterday, and I couldn't help
did but you say snap into
perhaps
it.
Perhaps snap into it.
My wife gave me this look like, really?
You're not getting laid tonight.
Wow.
It didn't affect anything. Moving on. But then we get an interview from Demolition, talking about how they believed to have been the underdogs in the match with Andre and Haku. And they win the tag team titles, and they say, we can't even enjoy it because the Hart Foundation's already trying to challenge us for the championships.
Yep. And they
I thought that was a pretty good – actually, you know, I'd like to point out this is a good time that Demolition has actually been really good on the mic.
Yeah.
Every time we've seen them, they've been very good talkers. And I guess – I remember Demolition growing up. I remember liking their look. I don't remember them talking because I was a kid back then, and I focused more on the action and the makeup and the outfits, and I never remembered Demolition in this light.
Yeah, if we paid attention to promos, I don't know if I would have been an Ultimate Warrior fan. Or maybe I would have been a bigger one because I've been like, ooh, aliens. He's an alien, Daddy. So
but I do just want to, at this time, give them props for being so good on the mic, because they have been every time we've seen them.
They have.
Now on to the next one.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
It's his favorite part of the show.
So here we go. Hulkamania's running wild, brother. And we get a Hogan interview. And I think this is classic Hogan. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but it sounds like the two of you have a little bit more to say about this.
Hogan
seems to be suggesting that Ultimate Warrior is going to perform some fellatio-type actions on him. He's told him to kneel down, and when you get the breathe your last breath into the Hulk Hogan. It was.
Are we watching the same movie?
I don't know what play.
Where's your mind today?
I didn't see the same thing.
I heard the little line about the last breath and all that.
He's like, get down on your
first
knees.
He's talking about Jesse the Body porn.
Yeah,
and now
that's what she was suggesting. She was suggesting Jesse the Body porn.
I do think that Rona Barrett kind of put it in his mind, and now it's just
everything
he
is
said,
on.
I think the rest of the show might be off the rails.
He's going to get on his knees and breathe his last breath into him. I'm like, what am I supposed to think here?
I didn't catch anything anything close to that. But Boomer, what did you think of this interview?
I enjoyed it. It was your typical Hulk Hogan interview.
Yeah.
You know, no complaints from me with that one.
He poses right before he walks off the camera. It's just
he has to show you the largest arms in the world.
The python. They have names.
They are pythons.
They are pythons. 24 inches, if I am not mistaken.
24 inches.
24 inch pythons.
Okay.
So then let's get into the reason. More so than anything, why we paused this and why we decided not to move on to the next match and why we decided to talk about these interviews to begin with. And that is because the Ultimate Warrior talks. And every time he talks, we try to listen.
We travel to space.
And I would like to say that this is probably the most coherent interview that I think we have seen the Ultimate Warrior do during this podcast.
Other than when he was facing away from the camera to talk.
That is pretty normal. Sure he had the script behind him.
Oh.
He had to keep turning around and be like,
on a bench. Yeah.
That may be why this one was so normal. They were like, you know what? We're writing this one. We can't just have you.
Ultimate Warrior, man. We need to have a talk about all this alien stuff. So we want you to be, you know, a human being. So if you could just follow the script. So he just kept turning around to remember.
And looking at on the bench. I bet they're in a locker room.
And then apparently he wasn't sure that he could shorten Hogan's name because he said, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, 25 times, I think, in that one interview.
Here's something interesting. See, you make stuff pop in my head. That's how we could go on forever. There's a reason for that. You do actually know that back in the day that the WWE had to work out a deal with Marvel to be able to use Hulk. And they could not use Hulk by itself. He had to be Hulk Hogan. Believe it or not, that was a real thing.
Well, freaking Marvel, huh?
Yeah, because of the Incredible
Hulk. Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah. But so there's some more of my information.
But they could probably say Hulkster.
They could say Hulkster.
They could say Hulkster, yes. Hulkamaniac.
Well, that is not what Ultimate Warrior did at all.
No, he made sure to say.
He kept saying, Hulk Hogan. He's like, and then to follow up with that suggestion that it seemed like Hulk Hogan was making, he's like, I am going to bring us to be one.
But the gist of it, though, is part of the reason it wasn't bad, though, is the Warrior was kind of saying, not only am I going to beat you, I'm going to take your fans and I'm going to make this bigger than
they're
you ever
be
were.
One. It's going to be a holy matrimony
right.
all together.
But he's saying that his Warrior verse is going to be bigger than Hulk Hogan ever.
And your Hulkamaniacs are gonna fall in line,
or else.
Well, that sounds very.
I will slap them like Bobby does.
Very.
And they will listen to the Warrior way.
But overall, it wasn't super crazy. So
no, it was very coherent for him. Now he did do the whole circle thing where he kept looking at the lockers and
he also
at the camera
like, throughout the interview
was right
like,
away.
Yeah, you're like, normal. I need to talk to Hulk Hogan.
He actually told him he wasn't worthy to breathe the same air that the Warrior and Hogan breathe.
But that's what he said. This man's a face. He's like, peasant.
He did call him a normal.
He called him a normal.
A normal.
He called him a normal.
And that's true. But I'm sure you've also watched this enough now. And I'm we all know how huge of a Hulk Hogan fan I am. But you've been watching enough of these pay-per-views to notice that Hogan does some heelish stuff a lot, too. But it doesn't matter because he's the Hulkster.
I feel like posing every episode
for 35 minutes.
35 minutes is heelish in my eyes.
Hogan must pose. Hogan must pose.
So that sounds very. I feel like you're stealing from Marvel there with that Hogan must pose. Hulk pose. Hulk.
That's why you have to say Hogan must pose.
I'm sorry. Hulk Hogan pose.
So did Hulk ever smash?
He couldn't. He was not allowed.
So the biggest thing I got from this Ultimate Warrior interview, I'd like to point out, is that apparently if you do not use steroids, you are a normal.
Yep.
That checks out.
I believe that's what it's saying. Just check
so,
out.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So now that we have unwrapped that craziness, wow, we spent 10 minutes on that. Now that we've unwrapped that craziness, let's get to the action. It looks like we've got the Orient Express versus the Rockers.
Oh, we get some Shawn Michaels.
We get some Shawn Michaels.
And that other guy.
The GOAT. The GOAT.
The guy that makes people miss. Go missing. You know, it's whatever.
Okay, so this next match I really had kind of high hopes for. It was the Rockers, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Versus the Orient Express, Pat Tanaka and Sato with Mr. Fuji in their corner. And I was really looking forward to this. Anytime you get Shawn Michaels, you think you're going to get a great match. But he really didn't get a lot of chances to showcase. Marty Jannetty did more in this match than Shawn. And the match was just kind of littered with botches. A couple fun spots, but mostly littered with botches. And then we get a countout to end with the Orient Express to win this match. So it was a very disappointing match because I was kind of hyped up thinking, okay, the trajectory is about to go up now that we're in part two.
Yeah.
We're heading towards the main event. And it just didn't seem to happen.
No. And the crowd was dead. The crowd was not feeling this. Well, they literally
chanted boring at one
time. Chanted boring. Yeah. I mean, there was that really fun spot where Marty Jannetty got flipped over and he actually landed on his feet.
Yeah.
And got the tag.
When he moved out of the way and one member of the Orient Express ended up dropping the elbow on his own teammate.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more in wrestling, actually.
What?
When you're getting the two count and then
you know that
the other team
is going
to
break
the pin.
Move out of the way.
Just moves out of the way and attacks his own man. I'm surprised that doesn't happen. That doesn't really happen that often.
No.
And I'm surprised. And there was also Marty Jannetty gets salt or whatever they throw into his eyes. And
just to get counted out.
He literally just falls right into the barricade on the outside.
He did so.
I think he really got some in his eyes. I don't know if that was fake because he just
it looked like it was right in front of somebody's.
A bunch of fans.
Definitely flipped right into the crowd, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of really fun spots to this, but then there was a lot of botches. There was the super kicks that did not go well.
The double drop kick that looked horrible.
The double drop kick where they didn't even come close to hitting them. There was the cross body from one of the Orient Express. I think Tanaka, maybe.
Maybe.
And he just misses in him. It was a lot of weird botches.
It was a lot of weird botches. And the ring, you know, the slams and everything were just so like because the crowd didn't care. They got hyped a couple times.
A couple times when the Rockers were in.
Marty Jannetty was the highlight of this match.
Well, in our podcast, I think that's happened a lot, actually.
Yeah, Sean just hasn't quite blossomed yet.
You can tell that we know he's going to be. You can tell that Marty is the veteran, the really good one here. And, yeah, Sean just – in fairness, Sean wasn't in the ring very much.
He wasn't in the ring very much.
But, it was a weird match.
It was pretty bad.
And unfortunately, so far, the highlight of this pay-per-view has been promos between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, hopefully this show starts to get better sooner rather than later. Because so far, it's going to head.
We might shut this off. No,
we're not going to. Just kidding.
I finally get on. And
we're not going to do that. But
we have a commitment. We are going to finish the show.
I enjoy a show where we bitch all the time. I mean, I have this thing about bitching, apparently.
No one could tell.
Well, I also have another podcast with a certain person here where it's literally called bitching.
Literally. Bitching.
So, you know. Okay.
Okay, so before the next match, we get a backstage interview with Rhythm and Blues, which is the Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine. And
line of the night is
Honky Tonk Man basically asked the guy that's doing the interview if he's excited to see them perform tonight. And he said, I haven't been this excited since I found out Pee Wee Herman was straight.
No context. We have no idea why he was so excited to find out that Pee Wee Herman was straight.
Go ahead.
None at all.
I'm curious now, is this the year the incident took place? Is that what this is about? Is when Pee Wee got in trouble?
I'm trying to remember when
1990 Pee Wee might have got
that might have been the theater incident. That might have been why that reference was made.
Perhaps. Very possible. This might be a very topical joke, actually.
Very topical. So this was a funny interview. So then we move on to the next match, which is Dino Bravo, which is actually the hometown guy.
They're in Canada. Got the full Canadian gear.
And he's got Earthquake by his side and the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And then he is taking on Hacksaw Jim Duggan, full waving of the flag. He kind of got a little bit of booze here.
He got quite a few booze. They were pretty loud.
A bit. A little bit of booze.
Yeah, so he's
he got all the booze.
All the booze.
He was getting all. And I'm just gonna say it right now.
Oh, here we go.
Hacksaw should straight up be the heel. I mean, I think every match we've seen of him, the last like three matches, he's cheated every single damn time.
Now I'd like to
you
point
complain
out that...
about my rooting for these antics, but that man is cheating to win every single time.
Well, you kind of got ahead of ourselves here.
We did.
But yes, the end of the match is because Jimmy Hart tried to bring in a megaphone and Hacksaw just outsmarted him, got his 2x4 and used it on Dino Bravo before he could.
While
the
Earthquake is distracting the referee.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when a good guy uses a weapon after a bad guy does, it's being smart. But if a bad guy does the same thing, he's being bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it goes. Yes.
Well, that's bullshittery. That is straight up bullshittery. I'm going to argue that to
Earthquake my didn't even have any business being at ringside. He's not a manager. Why was he even there?
A matter of fact, they even point out that apparently, and this is news to me, I did not know this was a thing. Did you know you had to have a managerial license to be...
In these days, yes.
In the sideline?
Yes.
Or on the...
See, Earthquake's not even a licensed manager. So
not
how
a licensed manager.
This?
So what is he doing out there? And they said, if you are a wrestler, you cannot hold a managerial card. This is information about wrestling that I never knew was a thing.
I just got to ask you this one question about your argument about Earthquake being... at ringside. Who the hell is going to stop that giant of a man from coming out to ringside if he wants to be out at ringside?
Water and soap.
Not a lot, because we saw what happened after the fact and Earthquake did to Hacksaw after the match.
That is a nasty man.
All that does is make him more pleasant to be outside the ring.
I don't know.
It does not.
That man had sweat stains on his outfit, and he didn't even wrestle a match.
So it was early in his career, and like to me, that looked like they were just like, let's see what we can find in the closet that will fit you till we get you real ring gear. Like, let's just pull out. That might have been Andre's high school ring gear that he was wearing. That's a possibility.
Andre didn't clean that first.
But we saw three Earthquake splashes after the match that were very sloppy. But again, Earthquake's still a rookie.
I say that's his elementary school.
Elementary school outfit. Yeah, it was pretty gross, though. It looked like he'd been, I don't know, digging for dumpsters.
Yeah, and right where he's landing on Hacksaw, I hope Hacksaw asks for a raise after this match.
I think his outfit makes him look just a little cleaner than Boston Booger. Bastion Booger, who's the nastiest looking ring performer I've ever seen.
By a smidgen.
Bastion Booger was just putrid.
The thing again, being in Canada, the crowd was way more into this match, but it was okay.
It was a decent enough match. There wasn't a lot of botches. This match, in my opinion, is almost one of the highlights of the night.
Which is sad to say, but yeah, there weren't any botches. It was fine.
There wasn't any botches. It was a clean match. It just wasn't. This is one of the matches that there was nothing bad about it, but there was nothing great about it.
And I don't want to take anything away from
it. I am not grading on a curve here, okay? This is still not a great match.
It's just sad to me because when I was a kid, I loved Hacksaw, but the older I got and watched him back, it's like he's not. He's all about selling his character, which we'll get to more of that later. But back in the day, that was the biggest. Yes, back in the day, that was the most important thing.
For those of you that
was
can't.
Selling your character.
For those of you that cannot see hand pointing, I pointed at his Hulkamania shirt.
Here comes more of this Hulk hate.
I'm not dissing Hulk. I'm just saying you are painting a picture.
You had all the very well familiar.
Yes.
You had all the familiar symptoms of dissing Hulk right there. Seemed a little dissy.
Okay, so let's move on and hope this WrestleMania starts to get good at some
point. So far, it's not this match. So far, the highlights of this WrestleMania is the promos.
The promos have been highlights for sure.
I enjoyed the Dusty Rhodes match.
That was fun. That was a fun one. That was a fun one, yeah. So we'll have to see.
All right, I suppose that's the best one so far.
Okay, so the next thing we end up getting is a recap video package of the Jake the Snake versus Million Dollar Man feud going on right here. A lot of good stuff. We'd like to also thank our friend Nick.
Nick.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Our friend Nick, who had us watch Saturday night's main event, which actually gave us some more backstory of this feud where Jake the Snake had carried around the Million Dollar Belt with in the bag with Damian. So that was some cool stuff we got to see before we got to see this match.
Yeah, perfect timing.
And we got to see Million Dollar Man come out. And Blaze, I'll let you take it away because of how excited you were.
Yes.
This was such a good – are we not really going to talk more about that interview? That interview.
We haven't got to the interview.
We haven't got to the interview. We're talking about
the Million Dollar Man interest. We finally get money.
Blaze almost jumped off the couch.
I was ecstatic. I have been waiting. This is our, by the way, 20th episode of this show.
Wow. Is it really?
This is episode 20, not including the bonus episodes. I'm not counting those.
So we are one episode away from being allowed to drink.
That is right.
All right. So I'm coming back next episode.
Our next episode is going to be the Drunk Podcast. But yes, on our 20th episode, WrestleMania 6, we finally get Ted DiBiase's fantastic entrance music.
Yes, that was good. So I was also excited to hear it. It's a great music. It was so awkward seeing him just come down to the aisle with no music for so many shows.
And he's been in main events. Main events.
Yeah, he helped headline WrestleMania 4 against Macho Man Randy Savage for the WWF title.
I think everyone's had music on the show except Hacksaw. Hacksaw didn't have any interest in music, but I think everyone else has had interest in music on this one. So
we finally got some music. So, after the music and the entrance, we also finally get, or we don't finally get, I apologize. We get a Jake the Snake Roberts interview that was actually a very, very, very good interview.
Just calm, collected. He was just like chilling, bone chilling with the way he was talking. His interview style was just fantastic. And then he's also talking about how, you know, it was like a really good feud for Million Dollar Man, talking about how Million Dollar Man just flaunts his money around to people who really could use that money, and he always screws them over so they can't get the money. And you know, these are essential people that could use it for essential needs, and he just shoves it in their faces. And he's like, "I am gonna," he was fantastic.
Yeah. So after that, we get Jake the Snake. He comes down the aisle.
Huge pop for Jake.
Huge
Jake
pop.
Jake was so over.
Definitely a crowd favorite here in, I think we're in Toronto, right?
Yes,
yeah, we're in
yes.
Toronto. And this, I know the bar has not been set high, but this is head over heels the best match of the night so far, in my opinion.
Hands down.
Unfortunately, though, even with it being the best match of the night, it still had a lackluster ending. So we'll go ahead and talk about that. We do get it. It is a little bit more character driven on how it happens. But Jake the Snake ends up getting counted out. But the way it happened was more appropriate for the characters. But we still hate to see such a good match end in a count out.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, we're finally, the momentum's building, the show's getting better, and then that's how the match ends, even on a great match. These two worked so well together. They had such a great pop, and it's just disappointing to see the match end that way.
I agree.
There was some fun stuff after the match, but we'll get into that. Let's talk about the match first.
I disagree, and I think that this was exactly the type of ending you need for this match, because I saw no way Jake the Snake wins this match. I felt like Million Dollar Man was going to win, but I knew it wasn't going to be clean. I mean, there was no way he was winning this match clean. So
I don't think we're asking for a clean finish.
Virgil could have interfered.
We're just asking for a pin.
Yeah, let him pin him.
Virgil interfered, threw him over to the side, and then Virgil helps Million Dollar Man get back in the ring before the count of 10. There was more drama to this count out, where a lot of these weird ass count outs are just like they're outside for a little bit, and then out of nowhere you're like, oh, what happened? Oh, this one you knew what happened. There was no questioning it. You weren't wondering who won, what happened. No. Million Dollar Man got thrown in by Virgil right at the end of that 10 count. It was perfectly timed and then a great end after the match. Now, do you guys want to talk about the actual match?
Well, let's hear Boomer's comments on the match first.
The match was great. And these are two of the best in the business. They both sell great. The pace was great. When Jake was getting beat up and was down, the fans were just – I mean, Jake the Snake Roberts was so over. My problem is countouts and DQs and all that don't belong on WrestleManias.
Exactly.
That's my biggest issue. This is supposed to be the biggest show of the year, and so far, like Blaze has already said several times, other than the wrestling action in this, it's been a promo fest. It's been the best part. There should never be a count on a pay-per-view. Virgil could have held held Jake's feet down or put Ted's feet on the ropes or something dirty. No, pull the tights.
I'd like to also just add to that. I agree with you. WrestleMania is for conclusions.
Conclusions.
Exactly. We should get conclusions at WrestleMania. You shouldn't have a match end where it appears that this feud's going to continue.
Now,
this is where things get settled, and a countout's not settling a feud.
Now, here's what I'm going to ask you both here. If they didn't screw up, because I agree, I don't like all these countouts they've been doing with any of these pay-per-views we've been watching. They do it a lot. It is abundance. But if they didn't do them so often, if they didn't do this crap, and like we've probably had, what, two or three finishes already end in count out in this pay-per-view alone?
At least two now, yeah.
You take away those count outs from this pay-per-view, and this is the only count out like this, the way it happens. Tell me you don't think this is a better ending that way.
No, I strongly disagree. I think this was such a great match. It deserved better.
I see Blaze's point, though.
I get the point. What he's saying.
At least it fit the situation.
It fit the situation. It was story-driven. It was Virgil helping Million Dollar Man into the... Now, if this was a double countout, I would agree. This is bullshit. But the way it happened in a heel style with Virgil's help, bringing him out, because he cheated to bring Jake out by pulling him his tights in out there. Then they attack him.
So, see, when he's happy about it, he admits to the cheating.
Yeah, here we go. He's like, admits.
I know. He was usually it's, oh, he slipped on the mat.
Let me rephrase that. Let me come up with an excuse here. Give me a second.
That little kid wanted an autograph. He was just trying to get Jake to the ring.
Virgil was just trying to get Jake the Snake Roberts. He dropped his wallet. He was trying to get his. He dropped his wallet. And he was trying to get him his attention, and it just accidentally tripped him out of the ring. It was complete accidental. You know what? Fuck that. Okay, I'm serious here. If you didn't have all the bullshit endings with all the other bad matches, this match, this ending fits perfectly with this match. I feel you're both sour because they've been screwing up the endings of so many other matches that you're not appreciating how this story came out. You got Million Dollar Man getting the win, and then right afterwards, Jake the Snake Roberts comes in, attacks him, gets the DDT on Million Dollar Man.
Virgil ran like a coward with the Million Dollar Belt, but then came back.
Does the fantastic thing of grabbing those $100 bills and giving them to the audience. Awesome part of the story, especially based on the interview that he had earlier. It just, all of this fits the story. And when you're telling a story, sometimes you got to have those kind of cheesy, shitty endings. The problem is most of the time that they do these countouts, it doesn't fit the story. It doesn't work for that match. It works for this match.
Just shouldn't have happened at WrestleMania. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, WrestleMania is the time.
But I get, I understand the point. It didn't fit the story. Yes, that, right, I will give you that.
Well, we've went ahead and we've spent quite a bit of time on this match.
That's because this is the only match that's deserved this much time.
This is true. This has been the best match of the night. I think we spent this much time on
promos, you know. But I...
Yeah, we did talk a lot about promos. So we're going to go ahead and move on and see what else we got. Okay, so the next thing we get is an interview with Akeem and Slick. Mostly Slick.
Mostly Slick.
Slick did the talking.
The African Dream don't need to talk.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow.
So we get that interview, and while Akeem is awkwardly moving his arms, kind of in a
he's dancing like Blaze.
Well, no, it's better dancing than
Much like Genesis, I can't dance.
Nice. Nice.
Okay, fair enough. Then we got Big Boss Man interview, which we have learned during these interviews that the Twin Towers have split. Million Dollar Man tried to pay Big Boss Man off for, I'm guessing, protection.
Protection services.
And Big Boss Man said, I can't be bought. So he is now a face, and he is also proud to be an American.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Slick, he must have realized he split off from Slick as well, and he must have realized Slick was a pimp and was like, well, that's no way to have a manager, is to have a pimp manager. So he got rid of him. He's like, wait a minute, you are not part of the law.
Wow.
Wow.
So everything is now right with the world. Big Boss Man is after pimps.
Yes, and yes. African Dream McKim.
I wasn't touching that.
Yeah. Okay.
After pimps. Okay. So then we get the match. And to be honest, for two big men, this was not a bad match. This wasn't a great match. Not a bad match.
No, but I like the story.
And the fact that the beginning.
Yeah, Ted DiBiase was hiding under the ring, apparently, and attacked the Boss Man. And then threw him into the ring to feed him to Akeem. But the Boss Man, of course, prevails. The good had to prevail.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I thought Akeem was going to win the match started. I thought Akeem was going to win. That is not the case. Million Dollar Man did not stick around to finish the job. He kind of just did the beating at the beginning and left it at that.
Yeah, that's essentially what happened is Million Dollar Man and Akeem get their licks before the match. And as soon as the match starts, it's a squash match for Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
And
this is obviously one of those Boss Man's just turn. They think he can be a big baby face for him. So you have to push him. You have to throw him out there and make him look strong. And it did. I mean, it was good. The match was what it was, but I liked the overall presentation.
And
there was an ending.
Yeah. There was a one, two, three, which we haven't got a lot of in this pay per view.
Essentially, one of two things happened. Either Boss Man dived into the power of the magical belly button, or Akeem is essentially King Hippo from Punch Out. And as soon as you get him on the ground, he's done for.
They do resemble each other.
They do.
Okay, so
was Akeem or was King Hippo also the King of Africa? I'm not sure.
I think he was just the King of the Hippos.
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
Maybe.
And hippos do live in Africa. So, very possible.
So, they're both kings of Africa.
Same guy. I don't know. Same guy.
Akeem is a king, but it sounds a lot like king.
It sounds like.
You know what? I'm going to roll with that.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to move on. Okay. So, the next thing we get is a little bit of talking to the crowd. Asking him if they're hyped up for this rhythm and blues performance. One of the kids blatantly said, no, they can't sing, they can't dance, they can't do anything. And then he literally did this just so he could go talk to Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
And that was kind of
who knew nobody. Like,
no,
he's asking all these opinions. She's like, yes, sure.
She came here for her husband. Not because she's a fan.
Right.
She's like, I've never seen anything like this. It's like theatrics and athletics all built into one. And this is amazing.
Which is kind of crazy at this time because it's, you know, pre-break kayfabe thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she kind of just
like theater with
She just sharded on their whole business model. Theatrics? What are you talking about? These are real athletes.
Real.
This is before they were sports entertainers.
So yeah, it was. It was what it was. I don't know.
So anyhow, then we get this rhythm and blues concert that was horrible. The girls that were background singers were just as bad as Honky Tonk Man singing.
Yes.
So that was kind of rough. You know, you thought they could have at least gotten better backup vocals.
And but Valentine's look on his face the whole time was like, just please put me out of my misery.
It made me want to hear the entire William Hung album.
That's pretty bad, yeah. Isn't that whole album one song?
She bangs.
So anyhow,
trying to think of songs that were about as good as this.
Right.
So this just was just not good television.
It wasn't.
And luckily the Bushwhackers came to break it up. But even the way the Bushwhackers broke it up didn't really do any justice. They didn't really run into the ring and stop everything from happening. They just kind of walked out in front of the ring, acted like they were selling merchandise, yeah. And then it revealed it was the Bushwhackers, and they ran in, and everybody ran out. There was no action. There was no beat.
Rhythm booth.
They showed those guitars who was boss, okay?
Oh, yeah. They smashed them guitars like they were Garth Brooks. So they did do that. But outside of that, it was a rough segment, and to put this on your WrestleMania, it was kind of embarrassing.
This is where your childhood gets destroyed. Like, I'm still sticking to this.
I know, you're like
this whole thing. I think they were just in the room. Like, listen, we got Hogan Warrior. Just figure out what you're. Just throw some stuff on there. I don't know. Whatever.
They're no Elias. Okay.
They are not.
Walk with Elvis, maybe.
maybe.
But yeah, it's just Elvis. Elvis was not walking with those people at all.
Even this next match doesn't really live up to what it should have been or could have been.
So now that you bring it up, I'd like to point out that after this Rhythm and Blues concert, we get Howard Finkel announcing the attendance record.
Yes.
And then beyond that, we get a match with Ravishing Rick Rude and Jimmy the Superfly Snuka. And very odd. There was no interview before. There was no build-up to the match. The match goes on, and surprisingly, I think this is the first time we've seen Ravishing Rick Rude come out there and wrestle a clean match. No shenanigans.
No shenanigans.
No trolling.
Nobody's face on his crotch.
Yeah, nobody's face on his crotch. Nobody's
just his on his ass.
Nobody's wives on his crotch or his ass. Yeah. And surprisingly, it was an okay match. There wasn't really much to really say about this match. There wasn't any bad. There was one kind of minor, somewhat botch, yeah. But Rick Rude kind of saved it.
He did. The whole thing kind of felt to me like maybe they were running out of time and the match got shortened. It felt like it was an incomplete match.
It did, because Rick Rude won cleanly.
And quickly.
I think Rick Rude just knew the type of man that he was about to face and didn't want to do anything to make him, like, I don't know, stab him or something.
Oh, this is possible. We'd also like to point out how much bigger Jimmy Snuka looked than time we saw him. And we're
crazy.
Not talking about his fat rolls. We are referring to, we think the man might have been juicing.
I don't remember Snuka ever being that buff. I mean,
so that was different too, because he's never been as big as we just saw him.
No,
His elbow had muscles. It was weird.
The other thing that makes me think this was rushed and disappointed me is we didn't get the Rick Rude trash talk to the audience.
Exactly.
Just shut up while I take my robe off.
No sweat hogs.
No.
Nothing. This is a very awkward moment for Rick Rude, and we have been a huge fan of Ravishing Rick Rude. Every time he has taken the stage, he's been kind of a show stealer.
Oh yeah.
He has been. Now I just wanted to double check, because your daughter keeps trying to get a hold of me back here.
So I just wanted to, on the phone. Oh. Your daughter, who's not here, is trying to call me repeatedly. Did we talk about who was driving that car?
No, we did not.
Cadillac, I apologize. I can't believe we walked right past it. So as Rhythm and Blues, which was Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine, came down, he was accompanied by the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. But not only that, but the driver of the pink Cadillac was, it's me. It's DDP. Bang!
Yeah, early DDP.
So this is before he got into yoga. This is before he became a pretty big draw in WCW, even though I still think that they kind of squandered his popularity. He could have been the face of that company, and they kind of – there was too much of the NWO going on and Bill Goldberg being the face. The
wrong
face.
Place, wrong time.
And it just – unfortunately,
it's
I feel
like literally every wrestler
in the Hogan
this
era.
DDP, CDP could have been a huge deal, and unfortunately, by the time WWE got to him, they kind of squandered him, made him a weird stalker to Undertaker's wife.
Yeah.
It was just very odd. I was always a big fan of DDP, but I never felt he reached the heights that he should have, and a lot of it is because, well, Hogan buries people, and unfortunately,
and I mean,
whether it's WWF
or doesn't help either. I mean, DDP was what, 36 or 37, I think
he was an older guy, but that's why he needed to be.
And by the way, believe it or not, the WWE takes a lot of crap, but that stalker thing was DDP's idea.
Was
maybe
it?
The man was a little too ambitious coming in to, hey, I want my first feud to be the Undertaker, and I want to stalk his wife. What do you guys think? So that doesn't work out, then he gets stuck with that power of positivities. Let's not even talk about that gimmick.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I always was a huge fan of DDP, thought he could have been a big star, and unfortunately, he just never really reached the heights that I always imagined he could have been.
I agree.
And speaking, since we're on the subject of WCW and Hogan burying, little known fact that if anybody's ever really noticed, did you know Goldberg only had one title reign in WCW?
Yeah.
The
which
one,
is hard to believe. But
as popular as he was, and as long as he held the title, that was his only championship. So if that doesn't show you burying, then nothing's going to prove Baron, right?
I agree, yeah.
Because he was the hottest thing in wrestling, and he held the world title in WCW one time.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's not fine.
I don't care for gold.
I'm just pointing out.
He's never been a fan.
There's a reason that company went under. They had guys that could have pushed the company and reached them to new heights, but unfortunately, it always had to go back to Hogan.
True. Yes.
it's just the facts.
Now, well, I want to round that back to the much better wrestler DDP. That Diamond Cutter is a great finisher. I love his Diamond Cutter.
Yeah. Now, Boomer, you're older than us. Let's ask you this question.
Okay.
Kind of the chicken or the egg type of comment here. Which came first, the Diamond Cutter or the Stunner? Stone Cold Stunner.
The Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter. Really shows you.
When Stone Cold was in WCW, he was actually using the stun gun, which was where he would pick an opponent up and drop them on the top rope and choke them. So basically like a kind of a backdrop on the top rope, and he called it the stun gun. So
the Diamond Cutter was being used before.
Also before
Austin
the RKO, which is...
Well before the RKO, but we're not asking that.
But yes, it was before
the Stunner. But the Diamond Cutter is a lot closer to the RKO than the Stunner.
Right.
This is true. The Stunner sits down.
Good question, though.
He sits down on it where Diamond Cutter drops back
on
his back.
He kind of drops the whole...
Yeah. And Randy, just the way he does it...
He just perfected it.
He perfected it. It comes out of nowhere. It's great.
It is.
So... anyhow, I just wanted to get that out of the way. Yep. I know we got a little off subject.
It's all right.
But now, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready for our main event of the night.
And let's hope it's as big and as exciting as I remember.
We're about to watch The Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. Let's do this. Okay, so right before the main event, we get a video package
that showcases the feud that's been going on between the Warrior, or the Ultimate Warrior, and Hulk Hogan, and just showing us a little bit of the buildup. That Saturday night's main event was in that video package, so that was cool. But then, for the first time all night, they ditched the little wrestling.
Your cards are gone. You're heartbroken. We all knew the Warrior wasn't going to ride in one of those carts anyway.
So
those carts can't contain the power of the Ultimate Warrior.
Right. And they can't contain the ego of Hulk Hogan. So neither one can. Right.
So, you know, I heard a rumor that apparently they tried to get the speed high enough for the Warrior, but he said, no, I'm going to run it instead. They just couldn't get the carts.
If that's not going so fast.
They had the speed regulators on them, and they're like, we can't get the power of the Warrior on the cart. So you're going to have to do your normal run-in. So Hogan didn't look awkward, because I really think it would have benefited Hogan.
Right.
Because he could have just stood there and did his poses while he got drove down the aisle. But no, he had to walk too. And I think that was the difference maker in the match, to be honest. Is because Warrior just ran down there, and Hogan took his time to walk down there, and it just took up too much momentum. It took it out of him. He was gassed by the time he got there. Yeah. See, no. Warrior has unlimited power. So he was able to sustain the energy of running down the ring. So obviously this is science we're talking
about. It's got to be. Science. It's got to be science, yeah.
I didn't really notice – were they, when Hulk Hogan came down with the "I am a real American," did the Canadian audience start booing?
No, they did not.
No, Hogan because got, so yeah, that wasn't got American enough to be
pop.
Okay.
Yeah,
that wasn't American enough.
I do
think
the Warrior got a bigger pop though.
I think he might.
It
have.
Was a pretty big. Pop.
It was a pretty big pop.
Well, so. You know, aliens are fans. People are fans of aliens at all.
And
countries,
this is when
know?
They are they aliens before they cross the border and become. Illegal aliens. So they're just aliens at this
and
point.
And I loved how Jesse the Body like was talking to the Warriors, like he's running the ring, wasting all his energy. The Warrior's not gonna have anything left in his like Jesse Ventura's gold on commentary. I love Jesse on commentary. He's like, this guy's a moron. He's
little racist, but you know, other than that, it's pretty great.
I don't know, Chico.
I don't think Chico on this show.
No, I don't think Chico was on there, but
no. Jesse kind of behaved this show, so
it was all right. So so anyhow, I don't know what else you can say about this match except the buildup was huge. The match was, in my opinion, pretty epic. I mean, we've seen better matches, but for what it was, this was a great worked match between two superstars
telling
a story, and the crowd was super into it. You even had a little bit of dramatics with the referee being down. Yeah. Hogan trying to say, well, I got a pin, even though that was a fast count.
It was a fast count.
And then Warrior trying to do the same thing. I got a pin. And he actually did a pretty good count. So this match was back and forth, gave each guys their moments. Kind of predictable, but I think we knew this. I mean, it's 30 years old, I guess. We can't really say it. We were like, oh, it's kind of predictable, but it's like we know what's going to happen. So, because we are from the future,
right?
So, anyhow, the match ended great. The way he missed the leg drop, and Warrior just hurried up and did
the Warrior splash, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So, it was just the big splash, I believe. So creative on their names back then. So
yeah, and even like the bear hugs and the sleepers and the test of strength, it all was part of the storytelling.
Right,
that can be overdone. It can be too much, but and to be honest, they probably both were gassed a little bit. Still,
yeah,
it helped to build the anticipation. That audience ate this up. Like this was
yes.
Don't let's not call it wrestling 101 to offend Blaze over here, but this is what it's actually supposed to be about.
I'm just letting you guys get into your thing so I can
bring in
the
audience.
You're wrong.
I can admit, because I told you about the. I know Hogan only had like five moves that he used, but that's all Hogan needed because that audience ate him up. And that's truly what the sport
is. Which is why about. He needed the test of strength moment, why he needed the bear hug moment, because yes. He had to think about what are other moves I can use, because I've used my five now. What do
and
I do?
Even the Warrior, like, he had a good suplex in there. Like, and if you go back and look, this match was actually the match of the year in 1990.
And
even people that don't like him said, when you look at the two wrestlers that were in this match, it was a great
sport. I feel like there was a total of 8 moves in this entire match. I mean, I disagree with it being a great match, because the things you just brought up, we get like 10 minutes of them doing the test of strength back and forth. Okay, it's telling a story, sure. Then we get... I believe before the bear hug, we get them lying on the ground for 10 minutes and just lying there. There was so much downtime in this match.
You need to
There's take the your, bear head.
You need to take your head out of
the modern era.
I've seen TLC matches. I've seen this. I've seen that. And I've seen so much better. You have to put yourself, and this is 1990.
I don't have to do
the
shit.
The two biggest stars in the wrestling business in that day and age go at it, and they have a clean, epic match.
I will give you this. The end part of this match. Okay. After we get that long-ass bear hug where – Hogan's arms are completely available to punch, to do whatever he wants. He could crochet something if he wanted to. Crochet some shit for the Hawksters. He could have done that. He was completely free, but here he is. Oh, no. I'm being bear hugged by the Ultimate Warrior, who's literally smaller than me.
You ever been bear hugged by a guy with steroids?
Unfortunately for Blaze,
I've never had steroids myself, so, you know.
Blaze is one of these modern wrestling fans, and he can't take those glasses off
right.
for these old stuff. Like, you would have been, if this would have been the Tokyo Dome, and they would have done, like, 4 360 splashes off the top, you would have gave it 50 stars.
I'm giving our listeners what they want. A modern take, a realistic, and a truthful review on these.
What you're
matches.
Doing is you're
your opinion.
Now,
you're giving your opinion.
Yes.
And then you, I have another gripe.
What you are doing is you are shitting
all over
on our childhood.
Besides
right?
most of this match being slow ass, nothing actually happening other than lying on the ground, hugging each other like they're best friends that just met each other after a 10-year hiatus, and then this test of strength. Where they're just, ooh, I got your hands, and I'm going to push it down, and you're going to push me down. I mean, come on. This match was so damn slow and boring. I'm telling you what. But the ending, yes. The ending, it starts to pick up. But then I have another gripe, okay? Hulk Hogan has Warrior to the ground. Now, they knew that the referee went out. All he had to do is look up. Just slightly above his peripheral to see the ref is down. But no, what does he do? He goes down for the pin like, hey, why aren't you waking up already and giving me the pin and slapping the ground and with his fast counts? And I mean, that ref was down once again for another like 10 minutes, which I don't mind refs being down for a long time. They're not wrestlers, but.
But let me take you back to the way I saw that when I was a kid and what the point of that was. When I, personally, from my point of view, when I was young and watching it, when that ref went down, part of me was like, is someone going to turn here? Is someone going to do something dirty?
Yeah.
It was to build the anticipation. It was the storytelling, Blaze, that you're totally missing.
Those people in that audience,
I guarantee you, were going, what's going to, the ref's down. Something funny has to have somebody coming out. Is Warrior going to cheat? Is Hogan going to cheat? It's about building anticipation.
I don't hate that the ref was down. I don't hate that the ref was down for a long period of time. What I hated was that Hogan, and to a lesser extent, Warrior, but Warrior, like, did a move and went right down. Hogan literally just, like, looked around, but somehow did not look at the ref that was down. When he went down for that pin. Like, he went down and he pinned him. He had to have known that ref was
down. Well,
they
know. It's the point was to build up the
idea. But they didn't tell the story
properly. They were trying to tell you if the ref was awake, the match would be over now.
Yeah.
Okay, the Warrior does his pin. If the ref was awake,
and then like we were watching it, like Rage pointed out, this was to make it look like, oh, Hogan would have won, but the ref was knocked out. So
then you tell the story better. You make it like Hogan just did this incredible move, and he was just so worn out that he had to get that pin. That's not the story that was told. That is not what happened. He wasn't so tired that he didn't realize the ref was down. That is bad story. But
you're not even to that point in your time travels yet. Like, this is old school wrestling. This is how they used to do it.
You're still trying to think of the year 2020.
Okay, Hogan uses move number 4 body slam on Ultimate Warrior and then drops right down for the pin. Not slowly goes for the pin. Has plenty of time to look around. Hey, where you at?
Is the ref over there? How many referees have to look around? Or how many wrestlers have to look for the referee? Don't they just react to the...
Well, when you're going to be slow as shit and going for the pin, you look around for the damn referee, okay?
I don't think you do.
No.
Don't either.
It was bad storytelling.
I don't think you ever like pay attention to the ref in a wrestling match. I think you pay attention to your opponent. I don't think you ever like... That's not like a requirement.
It was
like
bad storytelling.
Make sure the ref is doing his job.
But I did like how the Ultimate Warrior did get his splash, but he did the splash on Hogan's back. And, another thing. That gorilla press slam drop was terrible.
That was bad.
Absolutely horrible.
It looked
looking.
Like he struggled a little to get Hogan.
I'm thinking Hogan had an extra maybe plate of breakfast that morning because.
Maybe by that time the voids are wearing off.
Yeah.
The spaceship
should have ate his spinach right before the match.
But if you put your glasses on of everything we've said about Hogan and Warrior and look at who were I think the storytelling was perfect for who was involved in the match and the limitations,
you know,
that they had.
He might have been able to keep Hogan up if he would have taken the wrestling carts to the ring. But he wasted his
Ultimate
energy.
Ultimate Warrior has infinite energy.
Unlimited power.
Come on now. But I did like that because he did the splash on Hogan while he was still on his stomach, and he had to turn him around to get the pin.
And then
Hogan was able to kick out.
That was a good moment.
That was good storytelling. Then Hogan got the
missing
big boot,
leg drop
and he misses the leg drop, and then he gets the splash on him topside.
Yeah, the ending was great.
The way
it ended was real fast paced.
Yeah.
And I think when we were watching, I even looked over at you and I said, he's going to hit the leg drop.
Yeah, you called it. You saw it coming.
He's going to roll away from the leg drop. Or he's going to hit the big boot. He's going to roll away from the leg drop. And that'll be the end.
In a way
right
that still
it was great.
Protected Hogan
with
that finish, you know, but still made the Warrior look.
So the ending was the best part of this match, hands down. The rest was a lot of slow. It was very slow match. It was very I cannot believe that you guys are super excited about Bear Hug of Doom. Okay. I don't get it. Okay. I haven't seen you in years. Let's have a hug. That's what happened there. That's what happened, you know.
That's that high flying fan side of you. That's all.
No. That's not the high flying fan side of me.
So what would have made it better than if it's not the high flying?
If they did actual moves at a wrestling
which
match,
which moves did they have? Did they not use during this match? That would.
They used all 4 of them, but you know.
And I felt the bear hugging and the testing of strength
was just
important.
To anticipate the audience.
It was also because these two were both Goliaths in the ring. And the idea behind that was to show the strength of both men. They wanted to show that, oh, my gosh, look, he's got the better of him. Oh, he came back. Yeah. He's got the better of him. I can handle the test of strength. These two men are two forces going at it. They're treating these two guys as they're the biggest deal in wrestling right now. And that's what those moves are meant for. It goes over the simpleton fans, but
Yes, because I'm the idiot here. Right.
Hey, you said
you have
not
two
me,
of the worst it's... wrestlers, but they're well loved in a match, and I'm the idiot for pointing out how bad they are.
Well, because
here's
the thing with the wrestling business, though. You're one of those people that think it's actually about the wrestling. The wrestling's not the number one thing about
your favorite
Oh my gosh, we got another
only the lawyer.
Only the
another
lawyer.
Special guest.
Hulk Hogan was not my favorite.
No, but
ask these two. Was Hulk Hogan ever my favorite?
Warrior.
The warrior was my favorite. Was, yes. You're right.
Wow. What's going on around here? I'm feeling a little
Wow, we got some special guests.
Here's what I would say. Take out the bear hug. That was terrible. They never should have had that bear hug. I get the test of strength for the story. I get the being on the ground for a long time. That works sometimes. That's fine. The bear hug was too much to add, along with those two really right. slow down
you
parts.
Had Hogan selling the knee. You had the warrior go after the knee, which there again mm-hmm. had you wondering now. Wait a second.
It's like they did a suplex and then another 10 minutes of waiting. They do a clothesline, another 10 minutes of waiting. I'm just saying.
Match was only 22 minutes.
He's never
going to
make it through
long.
That Iron Man match with you, man.
Oh, my gosh. The
I'm
Iron
not saying
Man
there's
match?
Not action in that. There's going to be a lot of sleepers and stuff going on.
It's like
on.
My
I don't
favorite
know
match
gonna...
of all time, and he's going to
see.
He's going to be
we'll
like
see.
This boring
we'll
match.
See.
All over the bed.
We will see. Everything. But, you know, like I said,
bring out
the ending
chairs.
Was good. I get the story they were trying to say, but this was a very slow match, in my opinion.
Now, I will say that at the end, we didn't get the 30 minutes of posing.
Yeah, we didn't.
Hogan
get the
well, thank God.
Hogan went and got the belt and handed it to Warrior, but then, instead of letting your champion have 20 minutes to celebrate, they just ended the show.
Oh, yeah, but we did. We got some pyro.
We got some pyro.
Yeah. We got less of Warrior posing and the pyros, which, I mean, I was cool with. If Hogan would have been posing at the end of this, it would have been just as long as that match and just as boring.
Just as boring. Hogan must pose.
Like I said, the ending
was
good.
He is right. If Hogan would have won this match, we would have had to break this into a three-part.
Right. Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's not wrong, man.
Yeah. Okay, so we obviously know all of our feelings about this match. We'd love to hear your feelings about this match. So get on the Rage and Blade show and tell us what you think. This is one of our childhood memories.
Send your hate mail to Blaze.
Yeah, send it to Blaze.
Give it to me. Give me all your hate.
He is shitting on your childhood as we speak. I am the heel of the Rage and Blade show. This was one of the biggest main events in WrestleMania history, and Blaze is just sharding all over it. So we'd love to hear your opinions, but we've got to go ahead and finish this show. So let's go ahead and get to the next segment.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so favorite match of the night. I kind of tossed and turned about this one. I almost went with Jake the Snake Roberts, a Million Dollar Man, but being that it ended via countout, I'm going to have to stick to my guns here. The main event of the night, all the hype, all the buildup. I thought the way they presented the match was good enough to be my favorite match of the night. And to be honest, there wasn't really a lot to choose from.
There was a lot of competition.
Wrong. So I'm definitely going to have to go with Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior, champion versus champion, best match of the night.
Oh, well, I totally agree with Rage.
I figured so.
Hands down, it was Hogan Warrior. I know where you're going.
Wrong-o.
Wrong.
Absolutely wrong. The best match of the night was most definitely the Million Dollar Man versus Jake the Snake Roberts.
Such a good match, he couldn't even remember who was involved.
I was about to say Ted DiBiase, and then I was like, wait.
Well, he is.
Million Dollar didn't face Ted DiBiase. Yeah. It's Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase versus Jake the Snake Roberts.
Huh?
Told the best story of the night. And was the best match of the night. They used more than 8 moves. So there's no question it was the best match of the night.
Once again, we'd love to hear your opinion and find out what you think. Because are you on the right side of history?
The right
which
side.
Which
is me.
Like Boomer and Rage?
Wrong.
Or are
wrong.
You wrong?
Wrong.
Like Blaze.
Wrong. Just wrong. Absolutely, positively wrong.
All right.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so worst match of the night for me, I mean, you can literally pick this out of a hat because there was more bad matches than good matches in this pay-per-view. This pay-per-view as a whole just didn't have a lot going for it. But I'm going to have to just go with the first match of the night, Rick Martel versus Coco Beware. It just, to me, it was a short match. There wasn't much to it. And you could almost pick almost any of these matches and find a reason to be the worst match of the night. But for me, I'm just going to go simple with that one because it kind of set the tone for the show and nothing ever got better.
I think I'm going to go with Johnny Bravo versus Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Johnny Bravo.
There was just, I don't know, I just didn't really enjoy it very much. And you're right, there was a lot of bad in this. And not so much bad, there's just mediocre.
Yeah, like, the whole just a thing lot of, felt mediocre.
It was for the most part, a boring WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I wanted to go with Hogan and Ultimate Warrior just to piss you guys off. But I have integrity.
Integrity.
I got integrity. And honestly, as much as I shit on that match,
it was definitely not the worst match.
Probably the second best of the night. And that's not so much that I loved that match that it's the second. It's more of there just wasn't anything. Like, at least that told a story. I thought there was a slow match, but it told a story and it had a pretty good finish. So I can't do that because it's not the worst match of the night. And I don't even know if Hacksaw versus Dino Bravo was actually the worst match of the night. It's just
it was boring.
It was not a very good match. Yeah. It was boring.
Until the shenanigans at the end. But
and once again, I'm starting to really not really care for Hacksaw. And like, this is a good guy who
uses, what are you talking about, tough guy?
Well, Mr. I want to call everyone a tough guy uses his damn 2x4 every freaking match to win the match. He's a real tough guy using a weapon every damn time.
Use a
ho! He is. He's a ho. He's absolutely a ho. And he's not very good to women. I mean, come on.
And you know, this pay-per-view really was plagued by bad finishes.
It was plagued.
It was plagued with
mediocre matches and bad finishes.
Well, that was one. That's the only reason why I think that the Hogan Warrior match was the second best is because it did have a good finish. And then my favorite match of the night, I liked the finish because I felt like it fit the match. And I think that it's a little bit downed because of how many bad finishes they screwed up before that match. And I think they should have took out all count outs and that been the only count out of the night. And I think you guys would have been a lot higher on it.
So Boomer, you have a worst match of the night.
Yeah. I am going to go with the Rockers and the Orient Express. I mean, Marty was entertaining, but there were so many botches. The crowd wasn't feeling it. And it made no sense to me that they threw sand or whatever in his eyes just to get a count out. Like, yeah, which may not have been, might not have been intentional because it looked to me like Marty actually got it in his eye. That fall over the guardrail did not look planned.
Marty's so crazy. I can almost see that him being like, oh, no, don't fake it. Just use this real stuff right here. Yeah. Just throw it in my eye. It's fine.
And I'm not blaming the Rockers, but that was another match where I'm sitting here watching this going, why would they have even booked this? There was no other – all the good tag teams in this era, and you put out the Orient Express, and the fans could have cared less.
I feel like WWE didn't know what they had with Shawn Michaels yet.
What is the WWE? We're 19.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
What is this double-double
E? I think Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Federation didn't know what they had with the Rockers yet. I don't think they appreciated them. And you got to remember that they also got fired from WWF already for partying too hard. So I think a lot of this is just a matter of they're giving them another chance, but they're not ready to give them the spotlight.
But they put him on a WrestleMania card.
I mean,
in all fairness, there was
Rugged Ronnie Garvin's been on WrestleMania cards, and so has, you know,
there's 15
Dino Bravo, and nobody gives a shit about them. So
true.
There's
I mean, they're still Rockers are still one of
that
the
one
best
was just a, other than the few entertaining spots, that one was rough to watch for me.
I understand that. The reason it didn't become my least match is because just him falling, which I guess that should have taken off points, but after he's blinded, he
that
falls
was
into
the
air.
That's
great.
That was
and that
great.
Flip he does in the
back
that
flip,
reversal.
Yeah,
that's why I kept it off my bad match.
It was, there was enough fun stuff.
He either sold that great, or we just watched a guy get blinded.
Right.
So either way, it was win-win. So
yeah, it was just, there was enough fun in that match that it just kind of put me over.
True. Okay, so now all we got left to do is let's rank these.
WrestleMania rankings.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and rank these. I'll go ahead and start with you, Blaze.
All right, so bottom of the list is still WrestleMania 1. And then I'm going to go with WrestleMania 4. And then I think WrestleMania 6. Because WrestleMania 4 was the one with the tournament.
Yes.
This one, it only had two matches that I would consider good. And I shitted on one of those good matches. So it really had one great match, I felt. And then the main event was good enough. And then the rest was blah. So I'm thinking the WrestleMania 6 and then WrestleMania 5, 2, and the best still is WrestleMania 3.
Okay, Boomer.
Yeah, my worst, I guess we start there, right? The worst?
Yeah.
Yeah, my worst is definitely 1. So I'm going to go WrestleMania 1's the worst, and then I have WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 5. I got 6, 4, and then my best is 3. So I got 3 at the top,
so
1 at the bottom.
Here's you got 4 and 2, pretty, like, switched with us.
Wow.
So okay. You really liked 4, huh?
I did. I was, yeah. It was the tournament style. You know,
I love tournaments, but I was disappointed with many things from that tournament.
I felt it lacked buildup of matches is my
right,
problem.
Because it was so bundled together.
The double countout for the Hogan and Andre was – or double disqualification – that really pissed me off. They managed to knock out a bunch of matches through shenanigans, and I
guys getting buys and all.
Yeah,
that.
I was disappointed.
Trying to put too much in at one time, but
yeah, I was disappointed.
So on my rankings, I'm going to put WrestleMania 1 at the bottom. I'm going to keep WrestleMania 5 there, right above 1. I'm going to slide WrestleMania 6 right above 5. And then I'm going to go 4, 2, then 3 is the top.
I mean, it's not my list, but it's not bad.
It's not his list, so it's not right.
Well, it just to me, this main event kind of pushed it over the other two. And then that tournament style one, it was just kind of like there was good matches in that pay-per-view. It just lacked the buildup of a major main event. But it still, as a whole, was a better show. So, and I felt WrestleMania 5 kind of was plagued by the same thing WrestleMania 6 was, is it had the big main event with the Mega Powers colliding, but beyond that, the rest of the show was just kind of dull, just similar to this one.
Right.
So we haven't got to a point where multiple matches can be kind of, like look at Hell in a Cell that just happened Sunday night. You had the Bayley Sasha Banks match that was built up majorly. You had the Roman Reigns match built up majorly. The McIntyre and Orton match built up. You have multiple matches that you're excited about. So you're not littered with only one match that's selling this card.
Yeah.
You've got multiple things. And I know we're talking about a show in 2020 and they do things differently.
Still make a good
but
point.
But you would think some of these matches would have been built up a little bit more. And
well,
then
in fairness,
some
we
of
haven't
them,
watched any of the shows up until
no, this. But they also didn't like the only one that they really showed any history besides the main event was
Jake
and Ted
and
everything
Ted,
else
yeah.
was just like
and yeah, wasn't that
everything
the one
else
that was
there.
the time went out, so we lost Jake and Ted in the tournament. We had two of the best wrestlers.
Oh,
in the
we're
tournament.
Referring to this show.
I'm
though.
Talking about in this show.
It ended like, in a count out.
Oh, Jake and Ted.
Like, that was the only other one they showed any build up to even in this show.
And we don't get a conclusion because of a count out.
That's right. So. It was Jake and Rick Rude that I
But you're right.
Not
watching
to.
Those shows, you miss out on some things. Yeah. But, you know.
And the, it's kind of hard to do some of that build up with the tournament style. I mean, there is. The way the tournament.
The build-up for that was the fact that, there hey, was we have to crown a new champion, and we're going to do it in one night at WrestleMania.
Right. What we're really trying to say is doing an all-tournament WrestleMania probably wasn't the best idea.
Yeah, save that for a show. I think they had a show similar to that. It was called King of the
King
Ring.
King of the Ring, yeah.
Yeah.
But they decided to do it at WrestleMania. Okay, so that's all the time we have today. So last thing we want to do here is plug the pluggables. So, Boomer, do you have any plugs that you'd like to do?
You can follow me on Facebook. Okay. Team Boomer Chase.
Okay. And Blaze.
You can follow me on Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebooks, the Instagram, and the YouTube.
The YouTubes.
The YouTube.
It was today. It was just the YouTube.
Multiple tubes.
That's right.
There, the tubes.
I told you.
It's the multiverse.
The damn multiverse. Look it up.
Okay,
and then you can also follow me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro.
Okay, so we've got the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page. We have at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and we have at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. That's where you can find us, and hopefully you can join the conversation and let us know what you thought of this WrestleMania, because I personally, outside of the major main event,
it just kind of was
a dull WrestleMania. It was very disappointing.
Was.
Please contact us and tell them how they're wrong.
So don't do that.
Don't do that.
But no, actually do that.
That's fine. We want any of it. I don't care.
I'd honestly like to know if there's other idiots out there that think like this guy.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. Okay, well, it has been a really fun night. Boomer, we have had a blast having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And I'm Boomer.
Good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.